This is kind of something that's been on my mind here for the last little while, and I love getting into the Companion Bible, which is somewhere out here. The appendix in the Companion Bible, which is a New King James version, he does a great appendix in the back of it, and this is what I'm going to be doing tonight is the appendix 23 is what I'm going to be basing this sharing off of. And it's really neat and interesting because there was, I'll just get started here before I get too far ahead of myself. We use an emphasized Bible. It's a literal word-by-word translation. It's available at Christian Books, Amazon Books. You can pick it up anywhere. We don't sell them. Also, Telios Ministries. And this is kind of nice here because you can actually go to this here. Here's the webpage for it. And you can go to this webpage and you can go to the emphasized or the companion Bible and it will actually open up in a PDF format. And you can kind of look at it to kind of gauge it. So even with that, with the appendix, I actually did that to reference some of the stuff that I used in this teaching here tonight. Also, Joshua Generation, Israel and Shana, this is the 501c3. We do this as a charitable contribution for the orphans and the widows. So it's all charitable. There's no commission. Nothing's taken out. So this is the promised seed is what we're going to be talking about. And so we're going to be starting. The promised seed is Christ Jesus. It's when Yehoshua, and when you hear us say Yehoshua, that's what we're saying. There was no J in the English language until, what year was it? 1500s. Okay, so everything was Y. So you can actually look back and his name is the exact same as Joshua. Okay, Yehoshua, that's how it's pronounced. So when I'll say Jesus Christ sometimes, you always hear me when I pray that way. Yehoshua, I'll use that in the teaching. Same thing, that's what we're referring to. That's basically the Hebrew name because of the fact that we've changed it a little bit because we've added the J. Promise C, from the fall of the sons of Elohim. And again, the Elohim is God. That's what we're referring to. So when you're looking in your Bible, to include this one here, the Rotherham, it will say God. And if you look up the Hebrew translation for that, it's going to be Elohim. And so here's what we're going to look at and see. We're going to see from the fall of the sons of Elohim to the temptations of Yehoshua. This is a promise seed. This is really a fascinating study on the adversarial attacks against the promised seed, which was Yehoshua. Okay, and it dates all the way back to Genesis 3. Remember in the beginning that the adversary came in and stirred things up, caused problems, and it changed everything. Now, as we go through, you're going to see here that anything that's created by Yahweh we'll get to it. I'm kind of jumping ahead of it here as I'm going. The fight of the adversary was to stop the coming of the promised one. So soon as this was told in Genesis 3:15 that he shall crush thy head. In other words, the coming seed is going to kill you. Okay, but you are going to crush its heel. Well, that's exactly what happened because Christ had to pay that price, and the price that Christ paid was blood. It was pretty horrible. So this is what it is. The fight's on, and why is the fight on? Well, the adversary knows what's coming. And so he's going to do anything he can do to disrupt. You think about this, if somebody laid out a whole plan that how I'm going to take you down, and I'm going to end you. And you're like going, holy cow. Well, the person would be like going, well, where's their weak spots? Let's try to do something to change that outcome. Is there any way that we can change this outcome? And that's what the adversary was trying to do. Is there any way to do it? And disrupt everywhere along the way. Sons of Elohim, here we go. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Makes sense. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that's John 3:6. Adam is called a son of Elohim. Guess what Christ was called? Son of Elohim. He was also called the second Adam. Okay? In the New Testament, you'll see that it's the second Adam. Well, why was he called that? Because Adam was created, okay, as spirit. Okay? He's a son of Elohim. So was Christ. Christ was the same way. Everybody else were flesh as flesh. Okay? Those in Christ, though, having a new nature is by the direct creation of Elohim. And I put a couple scripture references in there. Can be and are called sons of Elohim. Or it'll say that in the New Testament as well, sons of Elohim, sons of Yahweh. Same thing that we're referring to in a couple other references there. In Romans 8:14, and I'm going to read some of these because I have a lot of scriptures here. We'll go to them as we need, but there's so many that I'm just going to kind of read some of these. One of you kids want to read that for me?
Me?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
For as many as by Yahweh's Spirit are being led, the same are Yahweh's sons. For ye have not received a spirit of servitude leading back into fear, but ye have received the spirit of sonship whereby we are exclaiming, Abba, O Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness together with our spirit that we are children of Yahweh.
That's exactly it. Children or sons of Yahweh. Okay? And so we're talking about spiritual beings here is what we're referring to. Adam was one. Christ was one. We became one when we became a new creation. Okay? In the New Testament. Angels and messengers are also called sons of Elohim. Well, that would make sense. Remember, born of spirit is spirit. Born of flesh is flesh. So I put a few of the other ones in here that show this. The sons of Elohim and messengers in the Rotherham, it will always refer to them as messengers. And all that is because in the Old Testament, it shows that it actually breaks it down. They're bringing a message. It's somebody that's bringing a message to deliver something, basically. Okay? So it's the same thing that you'll see. Angels, messengers are called sons of Elohim. In Daniel 3:25, you guys remember this one. He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men." And this is basically with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. With Nebuchadnezzar, they threw them in the fire because they would refuse to bow down. Okay, and what happened? They're counting and they're like, "Well, we three in, and yet we see four." In the midst of the fire and injury, midst of the fire and injury, there is not in them. And the appearance of the fourth is like to a son of the gods. Okay, it was a messenger. It was a messenger that was in there with him. And you remember, there was nothing wrong with him. It didn't even smell like smoke. Fall of the sons of Elohim. Okay, so here's where we're going to kind of get into it, where it gets a little bit deeper here. Okay, the fall of the sons of Elohim. Let's flip here to Jude 1:6. Okay, and that's back towards the back of the Bible. We're in the New Testament on page 250, 251-ish. Second to the last book. And you really don't need to have to give a verse, do you? When you go to Jude, you can say, "Go to Jude." Everybody asks, "What chapter?" And you're like going, "Ha! You're not reading." Okay, somebody want to read verse 6 for me? Sure, go for it.
Messengers also, even them who have not kept their own principality, but have forsaken their proper dwelling into the judgment of the great day. And
perpetual
bonds of the thick gloom hath he reserved.
That's it. And here's what we do. We're going to kind of dissect this because the Rotherham, I use on my Bible that I do when we go through, I will have the Rotherham side by side to the King James and the King James with the Strong Concordance. Okay? And we're on page 251, and here's what we're going to look at. Now, here's the comparison right here. This is the King James with the Strongs, okay? And it's the exact same verse. This is verse 6. And here's what we're going to see here. We're looking at this word for their proper dwelling, okay, or proper domain. The 746 is what we're looking at. Abode. Sorry, I was one off. The abode, okay, and this is it. This is the Greek. I don't know how you say that. It sounds like pig Latin.
Oikocherion.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Okay, but that's it. That's the abode. Okay, and we're referring to now these messengers who did not stay in there. So these are not good messengers. These are bad beings, okay? And it says they did not stay in their house habitation, dwelling place, or habitation. They did not stay in it, okay? Flip over one book to Revelation, and we're going to kind of take a look to see the explanation of what it says about this. So, Revelation 12:3, and we're going to be on page 259. And I'll let one of you kids, one of you boys want to read 3, and then another read 3, and then the other read 3.
What? We're all going to read 3? Oh, 3 verses.
3 verses, yeah. And what's really interesting about this here, I'm going to preface this because Aaron did a great teaching a while back ago. We're starting off in verse 3, but if you look at chapter 12, verse 1, and you see where it says, "And a great sign." And in the Rotherham, one of the things I didn't mention about this, they keep the poetic importance of it. Where you see the double lines around something, it's giving it extra emphasis that's all missed in translation. And so it's showing, "And a great sign." That sign was Virgo. okay, which represented what, Aaron?
The virgin.
That's it. A great sign is what they saw. And so go down here, one of you boys start in 3 and read 3, 4, and 5, and then somebody do 3 other in the... Go ahead.
And there appeared another sign. There appeared another sign in heaven, a little great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his head 7...
Diadems,
and his tail draweth the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bring forth, as soon as she should bring forth, he might deliver her child.
Devour
her child.
That's it.
Keep going.
And she brought forth a son, a man child, who was about to shepherd all the nations with a sculpture
scepter
of iron, and the child was cut away from Yahweh and unto his throne.
That's it. Now here's what we're referring to, because in Revelations you'll see a lot of things. Now when referring to the stars, okay, I didn't put any of the other references in there, but when referring to the stars, they referred to that a lot of times as the spiritual creations, the beings. And there's a ton of references in there. Just for sake of time, I didn't put them all in to show, but that's what we're referring to. And when you see there the 7 heads and 10 horns, it does not mean that it has 7 horns. We're talking about power and authority. The horns, if you look up the word for that, the Greek word for that, it's just talking about power. And 10 horns is, you know, you think of a bull with 2 horns, and so you're thinking about something here that is showing that's appearing as great power. Okay, it's also talking about the dragon stood before the woman, and here again, and his tail, the red dragon, his tail draweth a third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, was about going forth, that as soon as she should bring forth, he might devour her child. Why? Because we know from Genesis 3:15, this is the seed that's gonna crush his head. Okay, so of course, who is it? Where is it? How do we get rid of this child? Because if we take this child down, we might be able to prevent the inevitable. Okay, one of you kids now start off, and I think 6 is where we are.
Can Kevin read 6?
Sure, go ahead, 6 through whatever.
And the woman fled into the desert, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there's they should nourish her 1,260 days.
That's 3.5 years.
And there came to be a war in heaven, Michael and his messengers going forth to war with the dragon. And the dragon fought and his messengers, and he prevailed not, neither was place found for any longer in heaven.
One more.
And the great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent, he that is called the adversary, and the Satan that deceiveth to
the whole habitable
world. He was cast to the earth, and his messengers with him were cast.
That's it. And so what we're referring to here is what's happening, what's taking place. And so this is all basically setting up the stage for, we know the plan, okay? 3:15 tells us here's what's going to happen. You're gonna put some pain on this promised seed. This promised seed's gonna end you. Okay? And so the adversary knows this because it's written. It's written here. And so here it is, a third of them are cast out. This is what it's saying. The third of the stars were swept out and cast down. And so this is what we're looking at as we go through this. Now, flip back a couple of books. All the way to the other side of the Bible, because we're going to go back to Genesis. And we're going to look at one other reference in 6. And this is going to be Genesis 6, page 38, all the way in the first book. And Genesis was an add-on name. It should just be in the beginning. But Genesis is a Greek word, but that's what all Bibles are listed as. But one of you kids want to read for me 1 and 2, and then somebody else read 4 and 5.
I'll do 1 and 2.
Okay, in chapter 6.
Okay, and it came to pass when the men had begun to multiply on the face of the ground, and daughters had been born to them, and that the sons of Yahweh saw the daughters of men, and they were fair. So they took to themselves wives of whomsoever they sowed.
That's it. Okay, so let's look back up here. Look at if those here that are looking in the Rotherham. Look at the preface to chapter 6. An adulterous union of the two races makes way for the flood. Okay, and what is it that we're looking at? The whole crutch of this here in this chapter is that when the men multiply faces with the bliss, a daughter man. Okay, I think we're coming up to it. So now let's go to verse 4 and 5. Who would like to read that?
I will.
Go ahead and let Elijah read this one. Read, yeah.
The giants were in the earth those days, and also after that, when the sons of Yahweh began to go in.
That would be Elohim, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The daughters of men and sons were born to them. The same were the heroes that were from age past times, the men of Reno. And then Yahweh saw that great was the wickedness of man on the earth, and that every purpose of the devices of his heart were only wicked all the day.
Yeah. That's it. And so what we're looking at here is we're looking in 4. The giants, which that's Nephilim, and we're going to kind of take a look at that here, but the Nephilim, okay, that they were when the sons of God. These are spiritual things. Okay?
But it's not sons of God.
Well, yeah, sons of Elohim. Okay, yeah. Sons of Elohim, you're exactly right, and I had that written in my book. The sons of Elohim, when they came in, so this is a spiritual entity as well that came in, and it caused problems, and you see right then when you get to verse 6 and verse 5 and 6, that great was the wickedness. Well, I mean, you go from one verse to the other. This was wicked entities, and we're going to take a look at this. So here's what you see. This is, now we're in the Hebrew. Okay, so giants, it shows you this here, and it tells you. It's kind of hard to read some of this, but it's Nephel. Okay, and so what you see is giants or Nephilim. Now see where this comes from, this right here. This is all Strong's Concordance that we're using right here. And it shows what that word is it actually breaks it down. And this is it. Okay, so it's from this word here, giants or Nephilim, comes from this one here, which is Nephal, which is fail, fall down, cast down, fall away, divide, overthrow. And this is what we're referring to. These are the thrown down, the sons of God. Okay, so this is what we're seeing, and it was a corruption. And this is where we're going to start. Attempts to stop the promised seed. Again, we started in 3:15, and we're going to be now looking at the days of Noah. What happened is, It became completely polluted. And so we're going to look at this here. Their progeny called Nephilim were monsters, superhuman in size. The heroes that it puts it in here, it's actually like the men of war is basically what we're referring to. It's not heroes as we would consider today. It's the guys who are very good at battle. Very good at battle. Okay? And that's what right there. They had to be destroyed because what it say is, it says this. Wicked was all their thoughts continually. Now, even the most wicked person that you could possibly think of through history had to at least have some good thoughts on occasion, you know, at least something. And these were all the times. If it could be accomplished, a race from the sons of Elohim, Yahweh's word would have failed, and his adversary's own doom would be averted. Okay, as soon as it was made known that the seed of the woman was to come through Abraham, which is perfect, it ties right in with this teaching. Okay, as soon as we find out that the seed's going to come through Abraham, guess what happens? Okay, we're going to have to look at Abraham. And fortunately, Abraham was so strong in his faith that he knew that even if he did, he was so confident because Yahweh told him, the promised seed's coming through you. So even if he did kill his son, he knew that Yahweh would raise him back up. He was that confident. That confident. I'm like, going, that's bold. That's pretty tough. Because this is the seed. It's coming from Isaac. That's where we're going to see it from. All right. Genesis 6:4. The giants were in the earth those days and also after that. So here's what happens. The flood wipes them out. And what's it say? And after that.
Goliath.
Okay? There's still more. There's going to be more. And so as we look in there, we're going to take a look at that because, yeah, they were just nothing but a thorn to Yahweh's people. That's all they were after the days of Noah, more than 500 years after the first eruption. So we're not talking just, you know, a century. We're talking 500 years in between. The aim of the enemy was to occupy Canaan. Guess where the promised land is?
Canaan.
Okay? That's right. That's exactly right. So, preposition. Let's cause thorns. Let's cause problems wherever we can. Disrupt. Disrupt, disrupt. The aim of the enemy was to occupy Canaan in advance of Abraham and his occupation. So here in Genesis 12:1, and 2, through, and then I'm going to read a few of them here. And Yahweh said unto Abram, come thou on thy way out of thy land and out of the place of thy birth and out of the house of thy father unto the land that I will show thee, that I may make thee a great nation and bless thee. And what he said is going to be the sands. He was going to be the father of all, which is what Ab is. His actual name is Abraham, because Ab means father. Okay, we all just pronounce it Abraham to include myself, but it's actually Abraham is the correct pronunciation, because that's father. Make a great nation, become thou a blessing. In 5, and they came forth to go towards the land of Canaan, and came into the land of Canaan. And in verse 7, and Yahweh appeared unto Abram, and said, to thy seed will I give this land. So guess what? This is why. It's just, these things are going to be thorns. This is a problem. And so the preposition, these guys, these bad guys, 500 years later. Seeds of Abraham. Yahweh intervenes for Abraham 2 times and to protect the promised seed. Because remember, it has to come from him. There's no seed yet of Abraham. There's still nothing. Okay? In Egypt, here you see Genesis 12, 17. I think it's your turn there. Isaiah, why don't you read that for me?
And Yahweh plagued Pharaoh with great plagues, unto also his house, for the matter of Sarah, wife of Abraham.
Of Abraham, that's right. And so that this, remember, there are 2 occasions where Sarai was taken as wife to be gone, which would stop the line. That would absolutely stop the line. There would be no promise seed, because it had to come from Abraham. That's what was prophesied. And also in Gerar, then Elohim went unto Abimelech in a dream of the night and said to him, behold thee dead, because the woman whom thou hast taken, seeing that she is a married woman. And he's like, whoa!
You're a dead man. Yeah,
take your wife back, for crying out loud. I don't want her. You got a receipt for that? I'm sure I put a couple donkeys or something down on that. But yeah, there were 2 times. This would break the seed. Okay, and so it had to stay this way. It had to go. So the adversary tried over and over to thwart the plan of Yahweh. Yahweh had to, in each case, interfere and avert the evil and win the danger. Here's what's interesting. The people that this was all taking place had no idea what was happening, what was going on. You're basically just going through the motions. But you remember in Revelations that the war was on, and the war of the heavens was on. Well, we don't see that. We don't see the things. We don't see in a spiritual. In other words, I can't look up and see heaven and fire my telescope up and check out, you know, to see the throne of Yahweh. Because it's a different dimension, if you will. We can't see that. But just because we don't see it with our own physical eyes does not mean things aren't going on. And Yahweh working in the back to make sure that, hey, the promised seed's coming. So what? Also, the adversary knows this as well. And he's working in as well to make a stop to this. The battle for disrupting the seed. The destruction of the chosen family by famine. Remember this in Genesis 50:20. Ye indeed planned against me evil. Elohim planned it for good, for the sake of doing as at this day, to save alive much people, to save Israel, to save them. And so here's a famine that came in that could have been the end of it. The destruction of the male line in Israel, all the way back to Exodus 1:16. And you remember this, was with Moses, that when ye act as midwives under the Hebrew women, when ye shall look out at the sex, if it's a son, then kill it. Okay? And so that if it's a daughter, you can leave it alone. Well, why? Because we're trying to stop and break this line. We're trying to do whatever we can to disrupt.
No, Pharaoh.
What's that?
Pharaoh said that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm not sure on that. That's.
Yeah,
I'm sure it is. But Pharaoh's attempt to destroy the entire nation. Okay, in Exodus 4:19, remember as they're leaving, and this is where Yahweh, when they're finally leaving their servitude, their enslavement that they became in Egypt, that the Egyptians actually loaded them with all kinds of good, their jewels, their gold. And remember, they'd gone through 10 plagues. It had been hell for these Egyptians. It had been very, very tough. And so when they're leaving, they're taking all these jewels, everything else, they're leaving. And then after they're gone and they're up against the Red Sea, they come after them. And you can imagine that. You're blocked up against the Red Sea. How many weapons do you have? How many chariots do you have? You know, none. You know, we can throw some of these trinkets that they gave to us on their way out, but that's about it. And so it's all faith. And so they're up against this. And what happened is Yahweh intervened again through Moses. So David's line, guess what happens as the word progresses, as time goes on, we find out the line is going to come through David. Okay? And so we're going to look at how David was singled out. Jehoram killed off all his brothers in 2 Chronicles 21:4. But when Jehoram had risen over the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword. Moreover, also some of the rulers of Israel. And so you see that these kingdoms, that there was a battle for the bloodline and to be king. Who's going to be in charge? And so you have just one after another after another. The Arabians slew all the children except Ahaziah. 2 Chronicles 21:17. And when Ahaziah died, Athaliah, his mother, and she was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, she killed all the royal seed. So she tried to stop it right then. She thought she did. She thought she was able to kill all of them. The babe Joash alone was rescued, and for 6 years, Yahweh's word. Now, you've got a child, okay? 6 years, everything to the bloodline is on one child. That's it. This is it. This is the line that came from Abraham, because it's going to be coming through from David. This is what we're looking at and seeing. In 2 Chronicles 20:10, when you girls want to read this for me?
I will.
Okay, go ahead.
But when Athala, mother of Azar, saw that her son was dead, she rose up and destroyed all of the seed royal of the house of Judah.
That's it. That's it. And where was it going to come from? It was going to come from Judah, wasn't it? Right. And so she's trying to eliminate it. This was a way. Whether she was doing this in work as the adversary or she was just being greedy does not make a difference. If you are doing the adversary's job, whether you're doing it willingly or unwillingly, you're doing the adversary's job. Okay. And so this is what it was. This was to try to stop the line. Okay. It was one woman who saved him and kept him protected and kept him hidden away for 6 years. 2 Chronicles, let's flip over to it. And this is going to be 2 Chronicles chapter 23. Okay, so what happens now is they see how close they were to losing this line. They know the words. They were reading the scroll of the Hebrew scroll, the Old Testament. They knew that the promised one was going to be coming, and they knew where it was going to be coming through and coming from. And so they get together. And so we're going to be in 23, 2 and 3. Melania, why don't you read this one for me, if you would? Going to be on page 454.
Okay, 454.
Yep, 23, verse 2. It's in the middle there.
Okay, and they went round throughout throughout
Judah.
Judah, and gathered together all the Levites out of the cities of Judah and the ancestral chiefs of Israel, and they came into Jerusalem. And all the convocation solemnized a covenant in the house of Yahweh with the king and said unto them, Lo, the king's son must reign, and spake. And spake Yahweh concerning the sons of David.
That's it. And so they realized how close they were. They're like going, look, we've got together and we've got to solemnize a covenant amongst us that we are going to protect this line, that we're going to not let this line be wiped out. So here's what we see here, the promised seed. We're going to show this from Abraham, okay? This is the line to Christ. This is all the way the line to Christ. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you see all the way down, Boaz, Obed, Jesse, David. The books of the Bible you're written as it tells the stories you follow of these people, you see where they go, okay? And then from Solomon, which is the son of David, all the way down to Jeconiah. And then from Jeconiah, from here, some of the names I'm not even sure how to pronounce, but this is the line all the way to Yehoshua. Okay, and this is it. And so these are it. And now, you can trust me on this. There are 14 in this column. There are 14 in this column. And there are 14 in this column. Okay, and flip over to Matthew 1:17. And why don't you read this one for us there, buddy? You want to do that, Kayman? You want to read it? Okay, and I'll give you a page number here in about a second. Page 1. Page 1 of the New Testament. Down at the very, very bottom.
And
it's right before page 2. Smart house. All right, Cayman, go ahead, buddy.
17. So then all the generation from
Abraham
unto David are 14 generations, and from David unto the removal to Babylon 14 generations, and from the removal to Babylon unto the Christ 14 generations.
That's it. And so you see here, now there's four Gospels, okay? And sometimes people say, well, they're just written different points of view and everything else. They're written differently. Okay, Matthew is written as the king. So it's depicting Yehoshua as the king. And so a king always has lineage. And so we look at the lineage, okay? And then Mark, Luke was the servant. Mark was man. And then John was as, okay, I have to remind myself. But Matthew was as king. Okay, so what you're seeing here is the beginning of it. It talks about that. Abraham to Isaac, verse 2, and it goes all the way down to the verse we just read, showing as king. This is the lineage. And so this lineage was already there. Hezekiah, next one that we're going to look at, was childless when a salt was made by the king of Azariah. Now remember, Hezekiah was in this line as well. So there's another bloodline here that we're going to attack. So this is a really easy weak spot to go after an individual. You don't have to take down an army. You take out the bloodline and you're done. It's over. You just cut that line. And so this is what the adversary is trying to do. We'll go ahead and... one of you kids want to read this one here?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Isaiah. I think you're next, okay?
Now it came to pass, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah...
That Cherub,
king of Assyria came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Then the king of Assyria and Rabshakeh from Lachish into Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a heavy force. And he took his stand by the upper channel of the pool in the highway of the fool's field.
That's it. And so if you can take him down, you're going to do it. And I just noticed this here. Then did King of Assyria send Rabshakeh? I guess his brother Rumpelshakeh was busy. But you have fortified cities of Judah that they're coming up against him. So Hezekiah's in the line, and you wipe them out. And again, it's just one time after another, you're just trying to pick out and knock down. Haman. Okay, who remembers the story of Haman?
Yeah.
Plotted the destruction of the entire nation. Yes. Let's flip over to it real quick and let's read it because Esther is wonderful. Okay, Esther 4. Yes,
that's
even
fine.
Yes, she. I'll even let you read this because it's your book, girlfriend.
Okay, here it is.
Okay, we're going to be on page 497, 496-ish.
So 13 to 14?
Yep, give everybody a chance to read. Get there. It's on the top left. Chapter 4 starts on the page before. You'll be reading 13 and 14 on page 496.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Then Mordecai commanded Tertius, do not think in thine own soul to escape in the house of the king from among all the Jews. But thou do indeed hold that peace at this time, despite and deliverance will be appointed for the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house will perish, and who knoweth whether for a time such as this thou hast attained into the war east estate.
That's it. And so here, and I love that. I love Mordecai's faith in that, because he's like going, look, if you don't do it, it'll have to come through somebody because the line has to be protected. It has to be protected. We're Yahweh's people, but you are in the position to do this. And who knows that you are right now called for this royal duty to go in there and do this. And she did. And I'm like going, excellent. So Joseph, okay, Mary being with child and Joseph being just a man was contemplating divorcing her privately, but did not want her to be stoned to death, because you can imagine that the woman that you're marrying tells you she's pregnant, and you know that you have not had carnal knowledge of her. So you know that, okay, something else is going on here. He was such a righteous man, you know that if he came out and said that he was going to divorce her and why, they would have stoned her to death. Well, guess what? We're on last line of defense here. This is it. This is where it comes down to. And so, yeah, what happens is the messengers come to him, and we're going to flip over to it, go to Matthew. It's actually the page we just left. I should have told you to leave a marker there. Sorry, guys.
Page one.
You sure?
Mm-hmm. 18 through 20. Yeah. Who would like to read?
Me.
Okay. Chapter 1, 18 through 20, baby.
Okay. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was thus his mother Mary having been betrothed to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Moreover, Joseph, her husband, being righteousness and yet unwilling to expose her, intended to divorce her. But when these things have been pondered, lo, a messenger of the Lord by Zoom appeared to him, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for thou wouldst to in her hath been begotten is of the Holy Spirit.
That's it. And that's again, and you see, if you look through the New Testament, you can go in there and you can see that Christ is referred to as the second Adam. The first Adam was the first being. The second Adam is Christ. Okay? And that's it. He is a son because it is by Spirit, that he is already by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Herod, now what happens? This is interesting as well. As king sought to destroy the promised seed. Now again, who's Herod? Okay? Who's the king in this area? And if the promised seed's coming and he's supposed to be the big guy, the king, you don't want any competition, obviously. And very unrighteous man. Told the wise men to search out accurately concerning the child, that I also may come and bow myself down to it. Yeah, right. Okay. Messenger instructed the wise men in a dream not to return. Because remember, Herod told him to return after they found out, to let him know, hey, where is this so I can go bow down? And the messenger came to him in a dream and told them not to return unto Herod, but go a different way. Messenger of Yahweh instructed Yahweh to take the child to Egypt, also to escape Herod. Okay? Herod had all male children 2 years and older slain. Now you think about this, because I hear a lot of times where people are talking and they'll say, well, why doesn't God intervene? Why didn't he stop that? Now, here's his only child, okay? Here's Christ coming, Yehoshua, and they had to leave their country to go to a foreign land until this king is dead. And 2 years. 2 years of this. And so as we look at this, yes, there are things that we're not aware of. We follow. If Yahweh tells us, hey, you need to go. A messenger comes and tells you need to go to leave. You pick up and you roll. Let's flip over here to Matthew 2. One page over, okay? And I'll go ahead and read these. We're going to start off in verse 8 of chapter 2. If you can find it. There we go. Page 2, chapter, we're doing verse 8, and then we're going to jump down to 12 and 13. And sending them to Bethlehem said, go search out accurately concerning the child. And as soon as you find it, bring report to me, that I also may come and bow myself down to it. Go down now, skip down to 12 and 13. Okay. And being instructed by dream not to return unto Herod, by another way retired them unto their own country. Those were the magi, or what they would call the wise men that they knew. They were watching and they knew it was coming. Now let's skip down to verse 13 as well. Now when they had retired, lo, a messenger of Yahweh appeared in a dream unto Joseph, saying, arise, take the child to the mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I tell thee. He didn't even tell them it would be for 2 years. They had no idea. Until I tell thee, for Herod is about to seek the child to destroy it. Now jump down to 16. And Herod, seeing that he had been mocked by the wise men or magi, was exceedingly enraged, and sent and slew all the male children that were within in Bethlehem, and all of its bounds from 2 years old and under, according to the time which had discerned from the wise men. So he knew that what the age of the child would be to make sure that he got the right block. He went two and younger to kill them all, to wipe them out, to try to end the line. Temptation of the adversary. So now Christ is on board. Okay? 40 days and 40 nights of fasting in the wilderness. tempted to make the stones turn to bread. And this is kind of a neat explanation that he had in there. He said the circumstances were such as to make itself appear plausible and proper to work this miracle. Okay, remember, he's hungry. And he's worn down, and he's been praying, and he's exhausted. And here you are, and you just think about this with the adversary, how many times these kind of battles come against you. Here you are, was the language of the adversary, hungry, cast out, alone, needy, poor. And yet, the Son of Yahweh, if you have this power, how easy could you satisfy your wants? How foolish it is that for the Son of Yahweh, having all power, to be starving in this manner, when by a word you could show your power and relieve the wants, and when the thing itself, there could be nothing wrong. Okay? And yeah, you think about this, and also to be taken from place to place, to show, tempted to cast thyself down, tempted to receive all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, if Yahushua would fall down and worship him. Okay? They poured out. The adversary is like going, all right, let me see what I can do. We'll whip up everything we can. Yahushua, under great distress and grief, it is possible. Let this cup pass from me. Remember in Gethsemane, how many times did he pray for the cup to pass? Now, how come he was praying for this? Because he read the book of Isaiah. He knew what was coming. If you read the book of Isaiah, it prophesies what was going to happen to this promised seed. And it was not a pretty picture. Okay, it was not a pretty picture. It was going to be very, very violent and bloody. And so he was going to take on all the sins of the world as a righteous man. And he was praying to let this cup pass for me. Received no answer. Received no answer. And so he knew he had to do it three times and then did it. And go to Matthew 26. Flip over a couple more pages and we'll get ready to wrap up here, gang. Matthew 26, 37 through 39. Elijah, why don't you read this once I get to it? Okay, as soon as you get to it, Elijah, would you read 37 through 39?
Okay. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be grieved and in great distress. Then saith he unto them, encompassed with grief is my soul unto death. Abide ye here and be watching with me. And going forward a little, he fell upon his face, offering prayer and saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.
That's it. And so he's willing to do it. If there's any other way, and there was no other way, that was the way for it to happen. And I'm locked up here. Okay. All right, we have technical difficulties here. Sorry about that. Let me scroll down. We're about done. Here we are. Okay, first attempt, the eruption of the sons of Elohim. Okay. When Abraham was called and then he and his seed were attacked, David, same thing, the royal line was assailed. The seed of the woman, okay, Yahushua had come, but the storm responded. I didn't even cover about that or go in that. If you ever look at the picture of the Sea of Galilee, it's not really a big sea. And Yahushua was on the boat with them, okay, when they were all fearful that they were going to die. And he wasn't. He's like, you know, what's the big deal? Was that also something that was supernatural attack against him? I don't know, I didn't put that in there, wasn't part of that. But we're going to finish here in Psalms 136. And Wendy, I'll have you read this one if you need for me, please. And I'm trying, I don't think I marked this one here.
599.
Thank you. All right, Psalms 136, 10 through 26.
To him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for age abiding is his loving kindness.
And what you're going to see here, I'm going to interrupt you real quick. I'm sorry. Loving kindness is a chesed. Okay, and it's like a covenant type of a deal. And so it's more of a covenant relationship than how some of the translations will refer to it as just mercy or loving kindness. We see it over and over again here. This is the poetic nature of Psalms. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And brought forth Israel out of their midst, for age abiding is his chesed. With a firm hand and a stretched out arm, for age abiding is his chesed. To him that divided the Red Sea into divisions, for age abiding is his chesed. and caused Israel to pass through the midst thereof, for age abiding is his hesed, and shook off Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for age abiding is his loving kindness, to him that led his people through the desert, for age abiding is his loving kindness, to him that smote great kings, for age abiding is his loving kindness, and slew majestic kings, for age abiding is, I'm sorry, hesed. Even Sihon, king of the Amorites, for age abiding is his hesed. Also Og, king of Bashan, for age abiding is his hesed. And gave their land for an inheritance, for age abiding is his hesed. An inheritance to Israel, his servant, for age abiding is his hesed. Who in our low estate remembered us, for age abiding is his hesed, and freed us with force from our adversaries. For age abiding is his hesed, who giveth food to all flesh. For age abiding is his hesed. Give ye thanks unto Elohim of the heavens, for age abiding is his hesed.
That's it. That's it. So that's where we're at. That was just a short study here for the promised seed and what came against it. And until people actually look at it, you're like going, so many things were on the brink that people never even realized how close it was.
Especially with David.
Yeah, absolutely.
Think about David was attacked all his life.
Yeah, all his life. That's exactly right.
By the son of Elohim, Goliath.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Over and over. Okay, I'll finish and close with a word here. Yahweh, we thank you for all that you've given, that you've blessed us with. We thank you that we do have your word, that we're able to be in a free country, that we can worship openly and freely. We thank you again for this, that as we open the word and see the things that you've written, that you will uncover treasures, for it is people to search out to discover these things that are in your word. And so as we do this and we diligently seek you, that we will find that you are not hiding and playing keep away, but you are working to have that relationship with us, that as we reach out to you, that you are reaching back for us, that this is your hesed, that as we walk within righteousness and come before you, that you are in great delight. So we thank you for this, for the blessings that you give, for a wonderful week, and blessing everyone here, and for the words that you have for those people who are listening. We say this all through your son's name, Christ Jesus, and I'll give a word for those people who are watching on camera. My sons and daughters, know that as I am guiding with you and watching with you, that I see you calling out. You're calling out for very specific instruction, and I see that it's for something within an ailment within your body. Is something that I'm gathering is like a shoulder area or something, and you've been speaking against this, and you've been interceding to me that this may be healed, and I'm calling to you and telling you to speak these things, that you have the power. I have given you the power through my son, that you speak these words that I've told you and commanded you, that you are to go and that you are to be healing the nations, and the nations are to be healed. But for crying out loud, my sons, my daughters, I want you healed first, that you may be able to go out and deliver. So walk before me, knowing that as you are striving through righteousness to seek me and do these things, that I'm working within you, and I'm well pleased to see you stand in faith. For it is faith that is well pleasing to me, that as you exercise these things, even when you feel like you fail or it does not endure, work the way that you had planned, that I am well pleased seeing you walk out and do these things. For it is those who walk out that are those to get it, and those that refuse and stay in the boat will not receive these things, but only those who reach high for the glory.